Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. It is so good to be back. Be back at Sugar Creek. I've missed you guys. I got to tell you, it's a good thing. I enjoy disconnecting in July. To be honest, by the time I get to July, I'm ready to disconnect. And I actually do. But by the end of July, I'm starting to get homesick. I'm starting to want to get back to what God has called us to do and me to do. And so it's good to be home. I want to say a shout out to the Missouri City Campus. God bless you, yea, God for you, and all that God is doing at Missouri City. And the same for Richmond Rosenberg. It is amazing the blessing of God upon the Richmond Rosenberg campus and the people that are being led to Christ there. And all of you who are watching online and worshiping the Lord with us online, we're so grateful that you're here, and everybody at the Sugarland campus. Wasn't it great seeing Pastor Lib and Abraham again the last 2 weeks? Isn't he amazing? He's so amazing. He's one of the greatest pastors and preachers, I think, in America. And he's my friend, and I love him to death. He took on a subject that I don't think most people would take on. Jesus and politics. Jesus and politics for the last 2 weeks. And I thought he did just an awesome, an incredible job. He didn't come down on the side of Republicans or Democrats. He came down on the side of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it reminded us of who we are, that we are the people of God, and that God has given us a purpose and a mission to accomplish. And it is eternal, and it is the greatest purpose and mission of any other. And he has reminded us that when all the smoke is cleared about this presidential election, that we still are the church of Jesus Christ. We still need to reach this region with the gospel of Christ. Now, today and next Sunday, Pastor Xavier, Marilyn, and I are going to address another topic that sort of dovetails with what Pastor Libman was talking about, and the title of it is To Agree to Disagree Agreeably. That title really comes from a conversation I had a couple of years ago with a member of our church. I love him. I think he is a man of honor, integrity, and character. And it's a joy to call him my friend. And when we were at lunch and we were just talking about how the anger, the hatred in the country, the division in the country, he said, it used to be that people could agree to disagree agreeably, still like each other, still okay with that. Where did that go? How's that been lost in this country? And I told him, I don't know. I asked the same question. Americans have always been very individualistic and very opinionated, but allowed other people to have a different opinion than them without the level of hatred that we see in the culture. And now we're in a presidential election year. And I got to tell you, it's the most miserable year of my life every 4 years. The presidential election year, the hardest, toughest year. What both parties do, just listen to the rhetoric, what both parties do is capitalize on fear and anger to mobilize their base. And both are doing it now, and it is what happens. But there are also media individuals, personalities, and not all media, but there are media personalities that capitalize on fear and anger night after night after night after night. It is the way to get the crowd back. It's the way to get people to come back and listen again. And what happens is they get paid on the basis of the number of people that are listening and the amount of advertising dollars that come in as a result, and they're lining their pockets with millions of dollars while they are making us more afraid and more angry with each other. But I got to tell you, I think the biggest promoter of fear and anger is social media. Social media platforms like Google and Facebook and X and YouTube use very sophisticated algorithms to personalize our content. It begins to learn what who we are, what we think, what our opinions about different things are, and it tunes the internet to keep feeding us the same things that it knows we want to hear. And it actually, this is not just my opinion, there are studies being done about this that are being given to now a congressional committee, that it blocks us from opposing viewpoints and ends up creating an echo chamber in every one of our lives. So the only thing we hear is what we want to hear, what we want to hear, what we want to hear. And our anger and our fear grows to the point we began to believe things about other people that isn't true. But it is what we're being fed. The closer we get to the presidential election, this presidential election, I've heard for the very first time ever in my life, it's just amazing to me, both sides are now saying that if the other candidate gets elected, we will lose democracy. And it's both sides, and both have built a case to support them. So I will tell you what I think. I've studied American history a lot, and I think this country has faced worse times than this right now, and we have gotten through the worst times, and we have preserved our democracy, and I believe in the American people. I believe they're good people. Most of them are Christ followers. And I believe that this country will preserve democracy. It's not about one person or another. For the last 34 years, I've heard every presidential election, every single one. This next election is the most important election in American history. And every 4 years, it's the same. And 4 years from now, it'll be the same. And I have felt it. I feel it this time. I'll feel it next time. I have felt it all the other times. And did you know that over the last 34 years, 3 Republicans have been elected as president and 3 Democrats have been elected as president? Did you know over the last 64 years, 6 Democrats have been elected president and 6 Republicans have been elected as president? Did you know that over the last 124 years, Republicans have occupied the White House 64 years and Democrats 60 years? If I told you that I'm not worried about America, I'd be lying. But I believe in this country and I believe in this people. And I don't know how it's all going to turn out in November or 4 years from November. But I believe in this country and in this people. What Pastor Xavier, Marilyn, and I want to do these 2 Sundays is talk about coming back to agree to disagree agreeably. Jesus, just hours before he was crucified, prays a prayer to his heavenly Father. And listen to the prayer is found in John chapter 17. And beginning in verse 17, listen to what he says. Jesus is praying to his Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Now stop right there. Would you repeat this phrase with me? God's word is truth. Would you say it? God's word is truth. Would you say it again? Jesus said, your word is truth. And when you grab the word of God as truth, you now have found true north. You now have found the place that you can begin in understanding the right way to go. It begins with God's word. And this is what Jesus is saying in his prayer to his Father just hours before he's crucified, verse 18. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And my prayer is not for them alone. Now stop for a moment. He's talking about his disciples. I've lived this way so that my disciples will follow my example. But then notice what he says, and I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. He's talking about us. It's as though Jesus in this moment looks down through time and he sees hundreds of years and thousands of years down through time and all the people that will come to know Christ as their personal Savior. And I believe he sees Sugar Creek Baptist Church. He sees us. And he says, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that, circle the word, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. When the world sees Christians who disagree on some things, but are still united around what unites us. Our love for Jesus Christ, our love for his word and obedience for his word, and our love for the mission of God. So that the world may believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. This morning, I want to talk to you about a more controlled response. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For a person's anger does not bring the righteous life that God desires. And I think the first question we got to ask is, why would I even want a more controlled response? Because we want to bring honor to God. It's God that has brought this church together the way it is. Nobody did this. God has done this. And I believe the reason he has done this is he has brought us from every country, it seems like, in the world, every ethnicity. He has brought us together to be one church because he knows that to reach the region, this is the most ethnically diverse county or one of them in the country. In order to reach the region, we got to look like the region. And I believe he is calling this church to make an impact in this region with the gospel of Jesus Christ and around this world. So I'm asking everyone who can vote, who's a citizen of the country, who can vote to vote in November. I'm asking you to vote. And if you're not registered, if you're a citizen of this country, you're not registered, get registered. And you can actually do that on every one of our campuses today. In the commons and the foyer of every campus, there is an official registrar, or more than one, who is at a table, and we have organized it so you can be officially registered to vote. I'm going to try to talk you into doing one thing or another, but just registering to vote. And I hope you'll do it. Today, you will do it. You'll register. And then in November, vote. Get involved in the political process. Learn the issues. Compare the issues to God's word. And participate. When this election is over, some people are going to be glad in this church and some people are going to be sad, and that is pretty much a given. But when the smoke is cleared, we still have a church. We still have the call from God to reach this region and around the world, and we must do it together. The call of God on this church is bigger than any other thing. How do we guard the treasure called Sugar Creek Baptist Church? How do we guard it? James gives us three key things. First of all, he says, be quick to hear. Be quick to hear. Be quick to hear what? Well, be quick to hear God's word on dealing with life's circumstances. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. We know that God is sovereign, that God is in charge, that God can take any situation, any circumstance, and turn it for good to those who love him and those who are the called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 and 18, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And as far as it depends on you, be at peace. Be at peace with everyone. I know you. I've been at this church a long time. I know who you are. I know who we are. And there is a deep desire in this church for us to honor the Lord, to honor his word, to honor his cause. Be quick to hear the facts before making a judgment call. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is a folly and shame to him. Sometimes when someone is talking to us, we assume what they're saying. We assume that they're going to say a certain thing. That's how we hear it, but it's not actually at what they said. So actually listen to the person you're talking to. Instead of assuming, actually hear what they're saying. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9 says, don't be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. Hear both sides before you make a decision. For be quick to hear what others are actually saying. Instead of trying to formulate the argument against while they're talking and not actually hearing them, actually hear them and what they're actually saying to us. Second of all, be slow to speak. He didn't say never speak. We've got to speak. We need to speak, but be slow to speak. Keep a close check on your tongue. Nothing destroys relationships faster than a gossiping, wagging tongue trying to divide the hearts of people. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So a gentle answer. You can out-argue somebody else, out-scream somebody else, but it's not going to get you anywhere. Actually listen to the other person and answer the other person. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Psalm 17, verse 1 to 3 says, hear, O Lord, this is King David writing, hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. May my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing, because I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. I think that if King David was writing this same psalm today, he would add three words to the psalm. To the verse 3, I have resolved that my mouth and my fingers will not sin. It's pretty easy to hide behind a keyboard and to say the worst things, the most awful things. It's just so easy to do it because nobody's looking at you, and you never speak those words to somebody else. You'd have more respect. But online and social media, oh my soul, what people say. People are following you. People that are your friends are following you. They're reading the things that you're writing. Now, the truth is, I am not following you. And you can't follow me either because I ain't there. And I'm going to tell you why I decided that I wouldn't be there. Because I decided that I can say the stupidest things. I can say dumb things. And I decided that I would be better off not being there. And I probably would keep my job longer. So I just decided I'm not going to participate. The only thing I'm on is what was called Twitter, now is X. Neither one of them make any sense to me. But I'm on Twitter, and I'm on baseball, and I'm not on anything else but baseball. That's the only thing I care about on Twitter. You remember what Pastor Libin said last week? He said, look, before you write it, pray for that person. He said, don't pray about that person, because if you pray about that person, you will eventually ask fire to come down from heaven and consume them. No, don't pray about somebody. It's not going to probably turn out well. Pray for someone. God, I hope this person comes to know Christ as Savior. I hope this person comes to the truth of your word. I pray for this person. Stop critical gossip. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man stirs up dissension and gossip separates. Close friends lovingly confront. He didn't say never speak. There's times that we need to speak. There's times that we need to confront. But the confrontation that we have with someone else needs to be designed to restore the relationship, not retaliate. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 says, a perverse man stirs up dissension, gossip separates close friends. Lovingly confront, Jesus said in Matthew 18:15, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. In other words, don't call five people before you go. Go to your brother, your sister, just you and that person, and if your brother, your sister listens to you, you've won your brother over, and that's the goal of restoration. Be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. Learn how to ignore petty disagreements. You can't fight over every hill. Not every hill is to die for. Find the things that really matter and let the other things go. Proverbs 8:19-11 says, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it's his glory to overlook an offense. You don't have to answer everything that happens. And in fact, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Let it go. There are some things we cannot let it go. There are some things we must confront. They matter, they're important, and we need to deal with them, but not in a way in which we beat somebody else up, but in a way we try to restore. We try to break through. One of the things that I've experienced in this church that has been a great time for me is talking to individuals who think differently than I think politically and about specific issues, and sitting down, I've sat down with I don't know how many people and just talked. I'm not going to try to convert you. You're not going to convert me, but I just want to talk. I've got questions I want to ask. You got questions, you ask them. And to actually sit and talk to another person, I've discovered so much misinformation. I I've discovered people willing to do that. Just don't shout at me. Just talk. And I'm willing to listen to your side. Learn how to develop safeguards. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your anger and do not give the devil an opportunity. What is he saying? He's saying first limit the duration of your anger. Deal with the anger. Don't keep it going, because the longer you nurse it, the deeper it grows. And limit the intensity and the duration of your anger. And if you do this, you will not give Satan a foothold in your life. Don't give in to a deepening anger. Deal with it, but in a way that does not give Satan an opportunity. Here is what God is saying to us. In this political season, learn how to listen. Learn how to hold your tongue. Learn how to give your mind and heart a chance to catch up before you react, and then speak. A more controlled response. There's a church that has existed now for a long time. It's in Austria, and his story is pretty amazing. Here is this church, and they have a teeny little bit of property between a hill and a road. And so they build their church. Well, the thing is that the church keeps growing, and they're out of space, and they don't know what to do because they've got a road right in front of their church. So they decided to build another part of the church on the other side of the road. And look at what it looks like. I think it's ridiculous. I think to myself, surely they could have come up with a better idea. What you can't see very well from the picture is you see a balcony on the left-hand side. Actually, that whole wall you can remove on Sunday morning, and over on the right-hand side, you can remove that wall on Sunday morning. The pastor speaks from the building on the left, and he yells to the people that are on the right. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. And every time a car comes by, he's got to stop the sermon because they can't hear him over the car. And I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. But here's what I'm asking you. Don't make that be Sugar Creek by November. I sort of think that most people are entrenched already. And not everybody agrees with you. And not everybody agrees with me. In the process of walking through these days, hold firm to what you know from God's word is true. This church has taken what Jesus has said to us, truth and grace. Not one without the other, both and. Truth and grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 says this: always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. A more controlled response. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, and oh God, you know my heart and you know how worried I feel. And I'm not supposed to be worrying. You know how anxious, not just I feel, but all of us probably, depending on the level of involvement. God, we ask that you would be God of this moment. None of us are God. Only you are God. And we ask that you would be God of this moment. And that you would bring our country back together. But oh God of all people, you would bring and keep us together. For after November, we are still a church and we still have a mission to love and lead all people to life change in Christ. Bless us and help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.